I hope you have that peace.
Amen.
It's everything.
That's right.
Everything. You can have that peace and not have a nickel in your pocket.
Yes,
you can be flat on your back, sick in the hospital, and have that peace.
Yes.
It's only safety. Well, so much for that. I hope I'm getting ready to preach the right thing. And appreciate the opportunity. The preacher lets me drop by here, feel sorry for me. Lets me come by every now and then. Amen. Just hoboing my way to heaven, whatever you want to call it. And I always get intimidated here because I think a lot of your preachers always got something to say. If he's anywhere near, I go here before I can steal an outline off of him. Amen. Don't you? You learn to do that yet? It'll work, won't it? Somebody, one fellow asked me, he said, "Preacher, you preach somebody else's sermon?" I said, "Yeah, don't you?" I said, "You ever tried?" I said, "You ever heard yourself preach? You might ought to steal you one." Made another friend for life on that. Amen. All right, so much for that. Exodus chapter 20. You pray that the Lord will help me here. And let me say this, I'm not boasting, but this is a beautiful building. We're getting ready to build probably nothing hardly this elaborate, but our church, $2.4 million building, we're getting ready to build. And before Biden was in there, you could have done it for $1 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Yeah. Ain't he a blessing? We won't harp on that, but anyway. So we got $1,100,000 the Lord let us lay aside, so we're not have to. We got a lot of it, but still, yeah, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
My boy, I go to his church. He's my pastor. I have one son, only young and a half. He pastored Faith Baptist Church, White Pine, Tennessee, off Interstate 81. And I guess I am bragging, but I think it's okay. I'm proud that the Lord's using him.
Yes.
And first church, only church I ever had, 12 people that was there, building run down. Had 170 this morning. Been there about 6 years or going on 7 years. And most of them, a lot of them gotten saved there. We didn't steal them off nobody else. Amen. Now, if somebody wants to come over, hallelujah, got some money, that would help us right now. I don't have that kind of faith. I said, "Son, you sure God's in this?" Amen. That's a long way down when you jump off this bridge. You know what I mean? Amen. And just pray we have a soft landing. But I believe the Lord's in it. Anyways, so much for that. You pray about all that. The Lord will help us wait. I'd say take about a year. The contractor said give him a year at least for he believes he can get it all done and everything. But anyway, so it's going to be somewhat stressful for my boy. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to have to learn to compromise a little while. We don't want nobody to leave right now. You know what I mean? Amen. Don't look at me like that. You know I'm kidding. So much for that. I'm just rambling here. I bounce so much stuff around my head. I'm going to run with this and pray the Lord's in it and fake it if he ain't. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Preaching over. Exodus chapter 20. I'm sure I'm not going to say anything tonight that you've not heard or somewhat about it. And I don't claim to have anything deep. I'm not a deep preacher to say the least, but I do try to say something that's got something you can remember on Monday. Amen. Here in verse 18, Exodus 20, verse 18, the Bible said, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven." Lord, we ask you now, you'd help us in a special way with these thoughts and give us liberty just a few minutes. Lord, help us only say that which be helpful and needful. And we'd like to be pleasing to thee. We ask you to help us do that in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I want to look here just a few minutes here. Simple thought. I don't know where I got this. I scribbled these thoughts down Just a simple thought about meeting God in the darkness there in verse 21. The Bible said people stood afar off and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Amen. And I don't like darkness. I don't even like it when it gets dark at night. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You like walking someplace you ain't ever been in the dark? Amen. I don't like walking through graveyards at night. I know there ain't nothing there, but you just feel like something going to jerk your leg down that hole. Amen. I don't care nothing about it, you know. And I'm not talking about when it gets dark at night, but I'm talking about things happen in your life that brings gloom and doom and hurts you and puts fear in you and anxiety in you. Amen. I don't like it. Amen. Amen. And a lot of Bible characters, you know, like Elijah, he experienced time of depression and darkness. A great man of God, amen. But this woman, Jezebel, said she's going to kill him. And he got to running and said he wanted to die. But if he really wanted to die, all he had to do is wait on her. Hallelujah, amen. That was a mean woman, amen. Amen. I'm afraid of my wife, amen. You know what I mean? Hallelujah, amen. These fellas act like they run and own everything. You'll find out when that lawyer gets done with you, you'll be eating free cheese at the mission house. Hallelujah. Amen. Trust and obey. If there's no other way, be happily married, but to trust and obey. Yep. Amen. It's cheaper than alimony. Isn't that right? So you do what they say. Some of you don't have a sense of humor, I can tell you right now. But truth of the matter is, you know, when I speak of darkness, nobody likes death, but it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. If the rapture don't take place while we're alive, we're going by the grave. Now, I'm not crazy about that, are you? I ain't crazy about this dying gig. I know where I'm going, like the preacher says, but I like living. Amen. I'm going to hang on to every tree limb, every root I get a hold of before they drag me off in that hole, ain't you? I'm not interested in that. Somebody walking by me at the funeral home said they never looked better. That's not a compliment. It says a lot for the mortician, you know. Amen. 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 I want to be alive when the Lord comes, don't you? Amen. But, you know, death is real. And when death comes, even those saved loved ones, when they pass, it hurts. It's a dark time. Sometimes you get depressed. Amen. I don't dwell in it, but I have a spell of depression before. Amen. Amen. Some folks say, preacher, you've been depressed. You know anybody 75, almost 76 year old ain't never been depressed. Amen. I'll show you somebody's on some strong medication. Hallelujah. Amen. They try to sell that stuff on TV all the time. Amen. That's the last thing I need is some more dope. Amen. God saved me from dope. Amen. You know, sinners take dope. Saved people take medication. Same stuff, but you don't go to jail for it. That's the only difference. Amen. They call them antidepressants. Amen. We call them downers on the street. A lot of folks on this diet stuff, diet pills. Amen. They call them diet pills. They call speed on the street. Amen. Same stuff. But anyway, I'm trying to get somewhere here. Depression, it's real, no matter who you are. Amen. Dark times. Amen. Despair. Discouragement. Amen. I'm sure your preacher, as good a preacher and good a church as you have here, has fought some discouragement along the way. Especially, like you say, come in on Sunday morning, about 30 or 40 people are not here. Amen. That'll discourage you. Amen. Even you know they're sick, it still bothers you because you're concerned about them. And then disease comes your way. Amen. If you live long enough, you're not going to escape some kind of health issue. Amen. That's going to come your way and drive you into a dark place that you did not want to be in to start with. Sometimes we have family problems. Don't make no difference how good your family is, how godly, but they still come. Amen. You might have a rebel in your family that's been taught right, brought up right. Next thing you know, amen, he's gone the way of the world, and you blame yourself. But if you've trained them up the way they should go when they're young, it's not your fault. They have a mind of their own. Amen. Sometimes it's just physical problems. Not so much about being sick, but things start happening to you. They're happening to me now. Amen. friend. Amen. I've been to the doctor every day this week. Hallelujah. Once you start to the doctor, you're going to continue to the doctor. Hallelujah. And your insurance, they'll take care of everything except the problem you're having. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Got to get an act of Congress to get the right medicine to help you. Amen. But anyway, that's just how it is. That's part of life. Rains on the just, rains on the unjust. We're not exempt from darkness. Amen. Sometimes you have financial problems. Amen. I remember Earl Hughes asked somebody, remember when we was poor? I can vaguely recollect. Hallelujah. I'm doing a little better today, but I do know what it means to be broke. I'd rather have pneumonia as be broke. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that went over real good. But anyway, thick darkness, the kind that hurts and brings heartaches and hardships in our life. Bible says Moses went into the thick darkness where God was. It wasn't just dark, but it was a heavy darkness. Amen. Some that you can feel it weights on you. Just can't get out from under it, seemingly so. But let's hurry here right quick tonight. First of all, we see the timing of the darkness. Amen. It was a time when God was showing forth His great power. In Exodus 13 and 14, children of Israel in Egyptian bondage, unable to get out on their own. Amen. Just slaves in Egypt. Where I was at, where you were at before you got saved, you were bound by your sin. Amen. Under Pharaoh as a type of Satan, Egypt is a type of world. You wanted out, but you could not get out on your own. You wanted to straighten up, but you could not straighten up on your own. Like that woman in Luke 13, she's bowed together 18 years. Her feet and her head was pretty much in the same place, bowed together. And the Bible says she could not lift herself. So no doubt she tried to straighten up. They used to tell me, David, you need to quit smoking, quit cussing, quit doping, quit drinking, get a job, go to church and do better. Well, under conviction, I wanted to, but I could not straighten up on my own. I could not get out from under the bondage of my sinful nature. Amen. But thank God one day. Hallelujah. Amen. God showed me the way out. And God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, take up a lamb on the 10th day, on the 14th day to kill that lamb, catch his blood in a basin, take hyssop, dip it in the blood, put it over the door, on the doorpost. And when the death angel judgment come through Egypt, where the blood was at, wherever the blood was at, there'd be no death in that home. Amen. A way had been made. And then Moses leading them, children of Israel, 2 to 3 million people, out of bondage, Pharaoh and his army, they regretted letting them go. He said they're entangled in the wilderness. Amen. He had them cornered up, Pharaoh and his army behind them, the sea in front of them, fear in their heart, thinking he's going to kill us. There's no way out. God told Moses, amen, to tell the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They didn't have to do one thing. God sent a strong wind. The sea rolled back like skyscraper walls, and the ground was dusty. Amen. It wasn't muddy. It was dusty. Amen. And they marched across in one night. Somebody said there'd have to be 5,000 oppressed. To get across in one night. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad God showed me the way out. I didn't have to do nothing. The way had been provided. I just marched on out one Sunday morning. Thank God Almighty. Let the sea come back and drown Pharaoh and his army. All that stuff that was trying to kill you, he drowned it in the sea. Hallelujah. Thank God for the way out. His great power. I wanted out. I wanted the needles out of my arm. I'm not bragging about that filth. I wanted that booze to quit, but it just couldn't get loose. Like Jesus sent two disciples and said, you'll find the colt tied by the door where two ways meet. Loose him and bring him. Takes two, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, to untie that rope off that donkey, to bring him to Jesus. I'm glad he loosed me. Hallelujah. Am I doing any good here? It was a time when God was showing forth his great power. If you're here tonight lost, you can't get out of your sin.
That's right.
You can do good, which you ain't going to be able to. You could do impossibility, I'll say perfect. Until you die, you'll still die and go to hell.
That's right. Yep.
He has to untie the rope.
Yep.
He had to dry up the sea. He had to show you because you did not know the way.
Right.
Thank God for his great power.
Yep.
Amen. It wasn't just a time he's showing forth his great power, but it's a time he's showing forth his great provision. Once the children of Israel been delivered, it seemed like they forgot the miracle of God bringing them out. And it wasn't long after murmuring, complaining about the water and about the food and all this stuff, and God, in their backslid condition, in spite of their murmuring complaining, he loved them so much. He rained quail out of heaven. Amen. Told Moses to take that rod and smite that rock. Amen. Water gushed. Can you imagine? You saw all that. They saw all that. Amen. God will take care of you. He provided for them what they needed to survive. He let them march for 40 years in the wilderness in their shoes. Sandals never wore out. Whatever. Clothes never wore out. I believe that. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Took care of their every need, and most of the time, I don't know what that is, demon right out of hell. That's what that is. But amen. And all they did is murmur and whine, and he took care of them. I'm glad he takes care of you. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory.
Yeah.
But you know, in the New Testament, there's some stipulation about provision. Yeah. I got saved, I'd been a bum. You don't know the truth, just a bum. Couldn't hold down the job. And got saved, amen. God brought me out, started going to church, amen. And found out if a man won't work, neither should he eat.
Yeah.
Amen. So I went and got me a job. That's not a cuss word, a job. It wasn't much of a job, but everybody thinks, well, if I don't make this much money and if I don't get this position, I'm not going to take it. Well, you'll find out when you get hungry enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. When your gut starts eating your spinal cord, you'll change your attitude. You know what I'm saying? Get a job. Get whatever job you can get, you can do better.
Yeah.
We got the wrong mentality about that stuff today.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if you have to dig a ditch with a shovel and a pick, just get digging.
That's right.
Got to honor that. He'll help you do better.
Yep.
Amen. Got me a job. Amen. Hallelujah. Learned that at church.
Yes.
Amen. And then I found out that God required 10%, no less than 10% of my gross income. I don't know what's doing that. Amen. 10%. That's not where you stop. That's where you start.
Yes.
And then on the first day of the week, he said, God has prospered you. Lay it aside. Yes. So I laid it aside. I didn't know what it was. On the first day of the week, that's Sunday. Amen. I bring it in the house of God, bring it in God's storehouse. Amen. And they'd have Sunday school. Amen. I go to Sunday school. You say, I don't go. They bore me. If you work 16 hours a day for 6 days a week, you'd get bored. He'd bore somebody too. It's not got nothing to do with you being bored. It's got to do what's right. For him to know, do good and do it him, it's right. Amen.
Yes.
How am I doing on this? I ain't going to get to come back, so we'll just unload the wagon. But I'm just trying to tell you. So I started honoring the Lord with the first fruits of my increase.
Right.
Amen. My meal bars got low and the cruiser oil got low, but it's never run out.
Yeah.
A few days I got a little nervous about it, but it always come through.
Yeah.
It's a promise. It's not Benny Hinn name it and claim it nonsense or some of these shysters on TBN 700 Club. That's Bible truth. Amen. I'm going to do it right there. You come into Sunday school. I don't know. The Bible said we become peculiar people. That means we're different than anybody else. Going to church once a week, most religions do, that's not peculiar. That's religion. Amen. But if you really got saved, amen, peculiar. You come to Sunday school, sit down there, sing two or three songs, hallelujah, amen. Have a prayer, pass the offering plate, get no less than 10% of your gross income out of your pocket, amen. Amen. Then they have a preacher get up and talk to you like a dog for 45 minutes, and you sit there and say, hallelujah, this is wonderful. I wish I got in on it sooner. Isn't that right? That's just, it works, amen. Got to be saved to enjoy that, amen. Anyway, let me hurry here, amen. So you start working, serving the Lord, bearing your own burden, carrying your own load, Amen. And next thing you know, when I got saved, I'd been living with my grandma and grandpa like a bum. And I was 20-some years old, just a bum. Nothing to brag about, but you know, you get ashamed. God starts putting some character in you and some integrity and cause you to start being honest with your dealings. And I first got saved, I owed a lot of people a lot of money where I lied to them before I got saved, amen, to fulfill the lust of my flesh. Drug addicts and drunks, you know, selfish people, they'll lie about anything to get that lust satisfied.
Yeah.
Amen. They call it addiction. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
And that's right. And it's because you like it. But you get saved, you know, amen. It's really, and I probably ought not confess all this stuff, but I got to say, you first get saved, you know, and it was 1974, 1975, they had a recession, said we was running out of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
They lied then, they lied now.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad thing about it, we have a Republican president then, Nixon.
Yeah.
I still vote for him. Hallelujah. He's a crook, but I'd still vote for him. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
He's dropped the speed limit to 55 miles an hour. Well, you can walk faster than that. And the whole country was like, anybody remember that nonsense? Everybody started buying these little four-cylinder foreign cars. Isn't that right? Gas line backed up first here, the main highway out there, trying to get enough fuel to get wherever.
Yeah.
Crazy time, amen. So we're running out of gas. And I think we own that state of Alaska, don't they? I think we trade some beads or something for that. Isn't that right? Don't get upset if you're an Indian. I'm just trying to have a good time. Amen. It's gas bubbling out of the ground up there.
Yeah.
They said, we don't want to mess up the environment for the polar bear. Who cares? So I like to look at the polar bear. I do too, through a scope. Shoot him. Get us some gasoline down here. Some of y'all finally cracked a smile. Hallelujah. Amen. Where was I at? Anyway, you know, when you've been a bum, You dig a deep hole in sin. When you get saved, that's instantaneous on your way to heaven, just in a minute. But if you dug a deep hole living like a fool, it takes a long time to dig your way out of that hole.
That's right. Tell it,
preacher.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
I owed so many people. Amen. I got saved. I owed so many people. When I go deer hunting, a tree limb hit me in the back. I said, I'll pay you Saturday. Took me 10 years to pay all that stuff off where I'd beat people.
Yeah, that's good.
I can go to any bank in town. This is not a brag, but any bank in the town I live, get whatever I need.
Yeah.
Most of the time, just on my signature.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God done that, took care of you.
Yeah.
These folks that don't want to work, this country is full of folks that don't want to work.
Yeah.
I know some saved people too, sorry, they won't work. Amen. Their word ain't worth a nickel. They'll sign their name on a dotted line about some product they bought. And they really, when you sign your name, that's a promise. They might pay it 3-4 months payment on it, and then they'll let it be repoed and custom man come and got it. Am I doing there? Save people. Amen. These people need churches. Well, let me leave that alone. Amen. I'm just telling you, God's taking care of you. Amen. Seek ye first kingdom of God and his right. All these things should be into. We all got more things than we need. I like things, don't you? Especially my things. My stuff. Your stuff's a sin. My stuff ain't. Isn't that right? We got so much stuff. Even poor people. Every one of us probably got one of them little old barn sheds in your backyard because your basement got so full of stuff. Got nowhere to put it, so you had to buy that shed. Ain't we having a good time here? Hallelujah. I got one of them. I'm not picking on nobody. Amen. Amen. We have yard sales and basement sales trying to get rid of that stuff. We can get new stuff. My wife would go to them, her and her sister would have one of them things. All they do is trade stuff. I said, how'd you do on that? I made $119. I said, that's great. We only had $3,000 in that junk. Amen. We need a bigger truck. We're going to make any money. You know what I mean. Amen. I hate them things. I go to them, but I ain't having one yard sale. Amen. About July, 98 degrees, sweat driven. You got a bar of tables and chairs from the church, hang wires all over the place. Got everything marked down to 50 cents. And somebody wants to come along, do you down. Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? You stand out there sweating, you think, man, let's just take this to Goodwill and get a little tax break or something on it. Hey, man, somebody will come in. I had a leather coat, nice leather coat my wife had bought me for Christmas, one of them real nice coats, you know. And I said, you could buy that in February for about 25% what it costs now. She said, no, it won't be Christmas. You don't get robbed real good. So I outgrew that. I'm trying to have a good time here, amen. Y'all get back to him. He's real serious fella, but I put that out there, and she paid about $150 for that for Christmas. Amen. I had a $10 price tag on it. This guy said, how much you want for that? I said, $10. Yeah, I give you five. It's 98 degrees. I said, not today you won't. He said, man, it's summertime. And I said, yeah, and about February, I hope you freeze it. Get out of my yard. Wait just a minute. Read this gospel tract. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Well, we'll move on this. We've got so much stuff. God takes so good care of us. This country is a wonderful place to live. You're not going to make me feel bad because God in His sovereign providence and let me be born in America, in the South, in the South. Now, if you're from up north, don't get mad. You wouldn't have moved here if you liked it. It's a pretty good place. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Got one saved man over here. He's laughing or crying. One, I don't know, one of the two. But hey, it's a time when God would provide for him. He provided the water in this dry, miserable place as he rang quail out of heaven. He take care of us, amen. Amen. It's a time when God's showing forth great power, and time when He's showing forth His great provision, time when He's showing forth His great protection here. Soon as they come out of Egyptian bondage, we all know this stuff. This is nothing you don't already know. First enemy they run into was Amalek. Amen. Amalek, we know, is a type, a picture of our flesh. And when that rock was smitten, when Moses smote it with that rod, amen, that's a picture of the crucifixion of Christ. Amen. Amen. And you get saved, and then that water that comes forth from that speaks of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's been to Calvary has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit under the day of redemption. Amen. And soon as that happens, soon as you get born again, the first person, the first enemy you run into is your flesh. Amen. Amalek is a type of the flesh. Amen. And when you get saved, if you don't know anything much about the Bible, like me, you don't really know what's going on. Amen. Because you think you ain't never going to sin again. You ain't never going to run your mouth again. Ain't never going to lose your temper again. Amen. Never going to say nothing ugly again. Amen. But you ain't run into him real good yet. Amen. He's going to be on you. The flesh loved against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these two be contrary one another, so that you could not do the things you would. God didn't blow out stump and all when He saved you. The stump's still there. He didn't reform or recap the old. Put a brand new man on the inside of divine nature. Amen. And there's a warfare. Ishmael, Isaac, amen, Esau, and Jacob. That's a picture of all that. And it starts, and amen, and thank God, amen. Amen. When Moses would hold up his hand, Israel prevail. When his hands would get weary, amen, Amalek would prevail. Well, thank God for Aaron and her. Amen. Sit on. But thank God for some people to help you hold your hand up. Amen. When you're struggling in this life. Amen. But that's exactly what happens. There's no victory over your flesh outside fellowshipping with the sovereign, feeding on the scriptures, faithful gathering with the saints, filled with the Holy Spirit, fervent supplication. That's as simple as I can make it. That's the only way you'll get the victory whatsoever over this flesh. This flesh is wicked, amen. Amen. It's apt to do just about anything that it ever did. The Bible said, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We have the power in us to say no, but sometimes we just don't say no. Am I doing any good right there? Amen. But thank God we got some help, amen, to get us through these times where we give in to our flesh. Amen. We have the scriptures. Amen. If we say we're not sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just. You don't have to confess your sins. You don't have to ask Him to forgive you. When He saved you, He washed all your sins away. But you do need to apologize, amen, to the Holy Ghost for grieving Him and hurting Him in some sinful thing you let happen in your life. I believe that's true. Amen. Amen. That's the only way you can get that peace back in your heart. You make peace with God when you get saved. But when you sin, amen, you lose the peace with God. Isn't that right? Makes you miserable. That's proof you're really saved. Amen, amen. How am I doing right here? Thank God. Well, we see the timing of the darkness. None of that helped none of you, but I got some more. Then also we see the terror that was instilled in these people because of the darkness. Amen. And Moses said, fear not. Amen. So the darkness had struck great fear in these folks. Verse 18, it sounds like verse 18, it said, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Here it struck a terrifying fear in these people at that time because of what they saw. You know, sometimes when it gets dark, you see things that ain't really there. Bible said that they saw the thunder. I've never seen thunder. They saw the noise of the trumpet. I've never saw noise. I've heard it. Am I doing any good here? So when you're going through a dark time, you start seeing in your mind things that ain't real. Am I doing any good? I'm trying to get somewhere here. I keep saying that because I'm nervous and you ain't helping me much. Hallelujah. Amen. Help me here, son. Amen. If you was up here, I'd help you. Hallelujah. Truth of the matter is here, and I don't mean to use this, but I remember 30 years ago, my little wife, she got diagnosed with a brain tumor. When they first tell you that, you don't know what that extent, it gets really dark.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And my wife said, I'm in a tunnel, David, and I just can't get out.
Yeah.
She know more Bible by heart than I know. She's always calling me and asking me hard questions. She called me and asked me one today. I said, that Bible gonna drive you crazy. Not really. Amen. In the morning, you know, I'm like Fred Sanford in the morning. I know y'all shot your television, but I still have 3 or 4. That didn't go good, did it? But you know, I walk like Fred Sanford in the morning. I'm not spiritual in the morning. All I'm thinking about, where is the coffee? For a long time, she was mad at Abraham for how he treated Hagar. He ought to have killed her. Amen. We wouldn't have some of this problem we have right now. Amen. Well, that went over good. Tender moment. She'll say, you know, why did he do that? And I said, hey, where's the coffee? I mean, you know, ask somebody who knows something that reads their Bible more. Where is the coffee? Amen. Y'all ain't going to get nothing out of y'all. Ain't got no human. Amen. But my wife, where was I at before I got silly? My wife got diagnosed with that tumor. Very frightening time.
Yes, sir.
You start imagining things. You start seeing things. You start thinking things. The worst.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Amen. Now, it was real, but it was worse in my mind, her mind, than it really was, even though it was very dark. I don't know about you. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember. When I was a boy, we used to watch werewolf movies. And some of you older folks knew Lon Chaney. Anybody remember Lon Chaney? That goes way back as young folk. Best werewolf ever was. Just a boy. And my neighbors had a television. We didn't have a television. And the roads were gravel. And I'd go out there on Friday night and we'd make popcorn and drink Kool-Aid and watch Lon Chaney turn to the werewolf. Son, these boys ain't never seen nothing scary. When the moon was full, you could see him, his fingernail. He'd start growing teeth, fangs, and he'd slip around and he'd rip people's jugular veins right out of their neck with his teeth. I love that stuff. It ain't caused me to be want to become a sodomite or kill nobody. These dippy bunch nowadays. Amen. And he'd just slip around that moon. You could hear him going, oh, oh. Son, it'd strike fear in you, boy. And he'd run around and catch people and he'd leap on them. He could leap. He'd have wolf feet and hair all over him. I mean, y'all remember that? It was, some of y'all smile here. Help me a little bit. Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Great movies. Amen. Help you youngins. Really would. Amen. You understand? And he'd slip around and pow, he'd get you and scare you to death. And we were just a little boy. But when the movie was over, she walked out there in the daytime. Birds are singing, sun shining, not dark. But when the movie was over, it had gotten dark. Then you had to walk by the graveyard and the woods out a gravel road, pitch dark. And you could almost, every bush, you could just see it shaking. And Lord help if the moon was full. And you could almost hear him going, "Bah!" And you know, you're just creeping along, just knowing he's going to leap out there and get you. She's scared to death. And the more you went, the more scared you got. And it seemed so real. And before you got home, you weren't walking. You was running with everything. And there wasn't nothing there.
Right. Yeah.
But in your mind,
yeah.
That's the way the devil works.
Yeah.
He'll get in your head.
Yeah.
My wife had that tomb, and folks come up, and folks say, "This is crazy stuff." They said, "I know somebody had one of them, and they're blind now." Good godly person. This the love of God constraineth me. I know somebody had one of the hemorrhages, and they're in a wheelchair now. So in your mind, your little wife, with a smile bigger in my face, it was going to be blind in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It was all real.
Yeah.
Am I doing any good here? I'm trying to get done. It's just so real. It's in your mind. All the things that's going to happen. I live in Marstown. Vanderbilt Hospital is 230-240 miles from where I live. That's a long way to ride to get brain surgery with the person that's closest to you in the whole world. Somebody that's your life. And my wife would say, "What if something goes wrong?" And the wolf would get in the car and say, "Oh, what are you going to do now, boy? Where's your God now? I wonder why he done this to your wife." Trash. Amen. It's a big place if you've ever been down there to Nashville, that Vanderbilt. Very lonely place, even though there's hundreds of people sitting there going through a lot of dark times. And you're all alone. Take my wife back. I'm just using this true story. Taking my wife back, take her back there to prepare, turn her upside down, run big screws in her head, and go back through her head and take this tumor out of her head, what they could get. And they said, "Mr. Ripps, you're going to have to go. We're going to have to get her ready." Folks don't think much of church people, but I remember coming out of that room where she was getting ready to prepare. And, I'm a low-maintenance church member. I don't expect the preacher to come and see me just because I had two stitches today. You don't have to send me no flowers, no card. I didn't expect nobody to come down there to help me. But it was a dark time, very lonely time. Scary time. I walked out in that lobby of the hospital. I don't know how many people I know come down there. And they said, "Brother, we just thought we'd come down here and sit with you." Scary time. Several days later, riding back up the road, my little old wife said, "I can't hardly believe that's over."
Yeah.
Over. It ain't completely over. It's a lifetime thing she deals with. But that very dark time is over. And the devil had us running and scared and running from something that wasn't even real. Am I making any sense here? He likes to do that to us. He likes to make us afraid. He likes to make us doubt.
Yes, sir. Preach it.
Am I getting anywhere?
You're helping.
He likes to howl when you're down. He likes to pick on you when you're down, like a bully in a neighborhood that knows he can kick you around a little bit because you're a little weaker than him, but I got somebody to help me. Well, they saw these things. It wasn't real, but it was in their mind. It gets in their mind, and our mind plays a lot of, wreaks a lot of havoc. Sometimes it just takes the joy out of your life. Well, let me hurry. Well, we see the timing of the darkness. We see the terror or the fear struck during the darkness. But we see the turning from the darkness. It said in verse 21, and the people stood afar off. Amen. Most of us don't want to volunteer for the darkness. We're afraid we're going to die maybe in it. Like them disciples in Mark 4, the Lord constrained them, got them on that ship, said they're going the other side. Just following the Lord. Amen. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped their nets and followed him. They left their ship, their dad and the whole crowd. Followed him, no doubt, no questions asked. Then he put him on that ship going to the other side. And the storm come up. He went to sleep. Amen. And they thought they was going to go under. The ship was, amen, in great jeopardy. The waves beat into it. They did all they could do to keep it afloat. Amen. They forgot the promise. He was going to make it to the other side. He didn't promise it'd be smooth sailing. Amen. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The storm didn't shake him up. Didn't even wake him up, but at their word, full of doubt and fear, he rose up, said to the winds and the waves, peace. Yes. In the middle, and there was a great calm right in the middle of that terrible storm.
Yes.
That's the way the Lord will help us. We'll let him.
Yes.
Amen. Nobody wants to go, but that's part of it. Part of serving the Lord. It's just part of it. We're not exempt from those things. And I'm just like you. Sometimes I fall apart in them. Amen. My brother and my sister died with a hepatitis C from living wicked. I had it. Amen. I watched them die. I watched my brother's teeth fall out, turn yellow like a pumpkin, swell up like a pumpkin. Amen. His liver was destroyed, lost his mind. His ammonia levels went crazy, literally lost his mind. What a waste. I watched him die. I see my sister die because of it. Amen. Her foot literally rotted off her leg. It wouldn't cut her leg off. Said he'd kill her. The decay in part of her foot where she had no circulation. I watched them die, and then I found out that I was going to probably die with the same thing, and it got really dark.
Yeah.
Scared me to death.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody said, I ain't afraid to die. How you know you ain't tried that yet?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I believe he'll give you grace to cross the river.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we ain't crossed the river yet. Am I doing any good here? I'm hurrying. I talked too long, I guess. I got afraid. Amen. It got dark. I figured, well, that's what you get for living like a fool. So do your flesh. You shall have your flesh reap corruption. Getting saved don't stop the corruption. It slows down the damage.
That's right.
Because you start living right, trying to live clean, but it was going to kill me. I got sick, real bad sick. I don't usually go on about my own personal stuff, but that scares you to death. Amen. I shouldn't tell all this, I guess, but might as well. I had good insurance. My wife talked me into going to Vanderbilt Hospital. I tried all these alternative helps. You always got these nuts, you know. Tell you, eat some barley grain. Grind you up some fresh carrots every day and some radishes. Hey, man, make a mess in the kitchen. You have to clean up. It ain't going to help you. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. That's right. Go down here and get you some ozone treatments. Amen. Let them rip you off. You try all kinds of crazy stuff. Get you one of these flashing lights. Amen. You set the timing on it and it'll heal you. Amen. That's crazy, ain't it? I tried all of that. I didn't care nothing about that dying business. Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't so much dying, it's the process. I watched my brother and sister, and I think, good night, Lord. I don't want to go through that. Hey, I'm a coward. You know what I mean? Hey, man. Well, I'm not doing any good. Fine, I'm trying to hurry. Anyway, make a long story short. I went down to Vanderbilt. Should have listened to my wife start with. She's smarter than I am, but I hate to admit it. God, I hate to admit it. Amen. So I went down, like she said, and that doctor down there, he's on top of things. He said, David, they got a new medicine. Government's getting ready to okay it, and it's going. It's total 98% to 99% for sure cure. Amen. And that helped me. Amen. And, well, I had good insurance, and they turned me down. Yeah. I've been paying them all the time, then they won't cough up nothing for me. Isn't that a blessing? You'll find out what that's like when you get older. Try to stay young like that. You won't have to have any. Amen. So I guess that's, I said, well, I guess that's what I get for, you know, living like, lay down with a dog, got the fleas, you just have to live with them. And my wife got to praying about it. She got to praying. I didn't have enough faith. I figured that's what I get for living like an idiot. And she got to praying, and the insurance company, they turned me down. They wrote me a letter, though. They said, Mr. Epps, we've made an exception of you. The medicine was $94,000. They said, we're going to pay $93,985. You got to pay $15. It made me mad. Why would you pay all that and make me pay anything? That's a true story. Stupid bunch, amen. But it worked. I'm here. I'm being cured.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't know if I helped you or not, amen. Yeah. But in my mind, I was going to turn yellow like a pumpkin.
Bless you.
My teeth was going to fall. That's going to lose my mind.
Yeah, tell it.
That's right.
It was all in my head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me shut up.
Preach on.
They wanted to turn away from it. Nobody likes to go into the darkness. But there's some great treasures.
Yeah.
Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Well, where God's at, there's not darkness. There's nothing but light.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes.
So I think during that darkness, if we'll get as close as we can to Him,
yes,
He'll shine light.
That's right.
Show us the way.
Yes.
Help us sleep at night. Because trust me, He's watching us in the storm.
Amen. Yes.
He loves us. We belong to Him. Whatever you may be going through, it may take you on to heaven. But just think about that. As soon as we cross that river, nothing but light. I'm quitting. Moses drew near to the thick darkness. Sometimes it gets really dark. But he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I've not been through some things you have, but I've been some things that I've seen. And when it's all said and done, I can look back and I draw strength from that. That it took me through that horrible time.
Yes.
Whatever else I might face in the future, I'm sure He's going to help me deal with that.
Yes.
Come on, preacher. I'm done. I don't know how to give one on that. I don't know if you need to come and pray about something. If you feel like you need to come and pray and ask God to help you, really, if you're not saved, well, we'd love to bow here with you, show you in the Bible, pray with you. We'll do our very best to explain it to you, make it as clear as we possibly can. And maybe you just need to come tonight and thank God that God's helped you with the struggles you've had. Folks are coming. You just obey the Lord. That's all that matters. You can leave here with peace in your heart. Just obey Him. If He's nudging your heart about coming and praying, talking to Him about anything, you just do what He says. That's all that matters. I found out that to be so 50-some years of being saved. When I feel that nudge, I need to get on my face.
Yep.
When I leave, after I get on my face, I'm always in better shape than I was when it comes. All right, you just obey Him.